This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly. Since 2008, XXL Magazine has put out an annual issue highlighting new acts that the editors predict will go on to impact the genre. In the beginning, the 10 musicians chosen for the cover of that issue were called the leaders of the new school. Over the years, the people who land what's now called the freshman cover, as well as the people who didn't, not to mention the people who turned it down, have become the topic of conversation all over the place, including in song.
I'm on my XXL freshman.
Yo, Vic, remember when they called us some freshman niggas rapping? Now I ain't gonna be a freshman and I'm rapping.
So, I'm up next. I want the freshman next year. I'm fresh
in
this year.
In the mirror for that curse on the freshman 10. Watch how it ends.
Don't let the cover fool you, bitch. I ain't no freshman.
I ain't trying to be no freshman. I'm chilling.
Don't you put me on freshman covers. I'm posing with lunch. Think they worthy of present.
This week, XXL revealed 2014's freshmen, and the group includes two of the musicians you just heard protesting, perhaps too much, their inclusion on the cover. It's complicated. To sort some of this out, my co-host Ali Shaheed Muhammad and I sat down with the editor-in-chief and one of the editors at XXL. This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
I'm Dan Rice, senior editor of XXL.
I'm Vanessa Satin, XXL, a magazine editor-in-chief.
Nice.
What's happening? It's a pleasure to have you too.
Thank you so
building.
Much for having us
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for coming here.
Especially the day after the big reveal.
Yes, the big reveal was yesterday evening, and we'd been gearing up for a minute, so it's nice to have the secret finally out, you know?
Finally yeah. Talk about it after keeping the secret for such a long time, too.
So what is that like? I want to go through the process. I'm sure that you've told this story before, but every year I'm sure it's a little bit different. When do you start talking about this? Describe the room. Do you guys sit in a room and all work it out, or is this happening?
We start talking on around September, October. Uh-huh. Most of it is done in my office. You know, we sit with a whiteboard and start putting names up and start crossing them out. That probably happens a little bit later into the process. We just start having the conversations, you know, mm-hmm. with people. We talk to anybody that we cross paths with in the industry. We talk to anybody that we're friends with that we wouldn't tell the secret to, in the industry, I mean, about the industry or about anything and who they like. We talk to genuine hip-hop fans. We talk to coworkers whose kids like hip-hop. We talk to the rappers themselves. They all come up to the office, you know, they have the opportunity to come up once, twice, as many times as they want, play us music, tell us what they have going on. We go to shows, make sure that we see anything. Recently, somebody said, what would you say to other freshmen to give them advice on something to do for next year? Perform in New York around January, February, March, you know, December, January, February, so we can get to those live shows besides South By, which is a different story, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll get the look at a show at SOBs or Highline or, you know, Webster's Hall, where we could really see you perform. And also you're doing it for an audience. So we look at YouTube videos like crazy. We have a few different new artist columns, you know, and cover new artists for different levels. So we kind of, you know, not specialize, but we focus a lot on the new artist, especially with the success of freshmen. So we pretty much have our eyes peeled in general, but then it's really, really, really doing research. We ask everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the rooms and have meeting after meeting after meeting, and we cross names off and try not to add them on once we've decided that person won't make it on, and we have maybes and start narrowing it down. I mean, I think we locked the first person down in maybe December, and then we locked the last person up, you know, about a couple days before the shoot.
Is there voting? Are there quotas? Is there, like, do you think about regions?
There's definitely voters. There's definitely voting, you know. There's not quotas. I mean, we've one of the things that people have asked us on this is that there's no female on the cover. You know, we're not trying to say we have to fill a quota. We have to do the female rapper. We have to do the New York rapper always. We have to have more than one New York rapper. We have to do the white rapper. We're trying to document hip hop and pick the people that we believe in at the moment. And if you do it based on quota and who you have to have in there, I think it changes or alters the class and the concept. So, so that's, you know, we didn't have any females this year or white rappers or whatever that we felt ranked above the ones that we'd already had. How we changed it this year was by adding R&B.
Right.
And that was switching it up for us to have a different angle on it, to grow with the culture.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have seniority in those discussions over other people?
Vanessa.
I mean, you know, we've got one other person that was on staff last year for freshmen, and then a few other people, it was their first year, you know, so you're taking them through how to think about what they might be big, what you're paying attention to. But we all pick, you know, I mean, there's definitely, I won't say there's definitely some on the list this year that I don't know. I believe in the same level the rest of the staff does as far as the big picture of what's going to happen. It really is a collective, you know. I don't want it to be my list. I don't want it to be a list I don't have input on. I want it to be pretty, you know, across the board that everyone gets to have their say. And I think that was on the money. But Dan could tell you that it really happens.
Yeah, it's I mean, these meetings that we have are 15, 20, 30 meetings that are all 4 hours long and everything like that across months and stuff. And
it used to be like, there's going to be a fresh meeting. Yay. Oh, it's going to be a fresh meeting. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, like it changes because how many you have.
And by what I mean by, you know, Vanessa having seniority in those meetings, mostly just like directing traffic. Everybody comes in with everything that they want to say about the rappers that they feel most strongly about, and then Vanessa will play devil's advocate. We'll start, you know, arguing, and then you know, she'll be, you know, directing traffic in a certain way, and always just making you think harder, differently about everything like that. It's a long process.
I mean, I might really believe in somebody and try to play devil's advocate just to get them to think differently, or myself too, you know, and do what the cons are to picking that person, even if I think they should already be in the list in my head, just so we can play out for them to see, for me to see, to get to kind of a different place. And I think that us looking at it from that angle, rather, you know, I think a biggest regret over freshmen over the years is in past classes we've looked at them and somebody's gotten in and it was like they were buzzing then, but we didn't think enough for the long term. And I'd sit there at the shoot and be like, I knew that shouldn't have happened or something, you know, for whatever reason, because they were like a given. And because they were a given, because they were so big at the moment, we didn't discuss enough what the long term meant. So for me, for the past couple of years, it's really been, well, forget the givens, forget the just big at the moment. And if they are, we have to play out where they can go. But it can't just be about at the given, it can't just be about you're automatically in because you've got this big buzz. What's going to happen next? Because we've seen people with big buzzes get caught up in record label drama, get caught up in crew member drama or crew drama where they got to get on the line, you know. So, and we always think about there's a next year. Where's this person going to be next year? Would they be bigger next year than smaller this year on the cover? Mm-hmm. What's the best year for them? So it's a lot of those. The kind of math problem that, you know,
well,
not
you
really
say,
numbers.
You say the big picture in your mind in long term. So what is your big picture?
For XXL or for the freshmen?
Well, for the freshmen.
For the freshmen, I mean, we want
to. Well, maybe both, actually.
Listen, you know what? It's as cool as could be if we could be as accurate at about as many as possible. Now, every time you make the class bigger, you up the number, you up the amount of future predicting you need to do, you know? So, I mean, we hope that these guys are successful. We hope that these people go on to do big things that make XXL look good, you know? And that we pick the right people. And I think that gives the credibility to freshmen and to XXL. And then for the freshmen, I think it just gives them the opportunity to succeed because we start to like them after working on the freshman shoot with them, after having them come up, after doing the New York show, after doing the event last night. You know, for a good period of time, those are our homies, mm-hmm. you know, and we got little relationships with them and we want to see them win. And sure, the dynamics change and there's different people you have relationships with as XXL or individually over the years. Mm-hmm. But for that time period, it's your little crew, you know, and you're excited about them. And we come away at the end of the shoot or at the end of a party last night and was like, well, August was really funny, you know, or we really liked so-and-so last night or whatever. And, you know, not to be fanboy, but you get past that general one interview when you're first starting an interview with someone. It's like, hey, nice to meet you. And they leave. You get to a whole different place. And that's kind of cool for XXL to be able to get that relationship with young talent early on like that mm-hmm. and then watch them grow.
Well, I find that, you know, I think that hip-hop can be uneventful.
Totally.
And so it's like you guys make this an event that I think artists aspire towards.
I think it's become that over the years. You know, I think that first 1 or 2 years, by the third years, it was starting to get a little bit more of a recognition for that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's grown into that. One, for the hard work we've put into it to create it a bigger thing and make it a bigger thing. But two, yeah, there is a drier landscape of what's going on in hip hop. So, you know, when you have less that's going on, this means that much more. You know, Summer Jam is a huge moment.
Right.
But, you know, because you've got all these music festivals, but they're not all just hip hop. This is where you have everybody together. So I think because you don't have record release parties like you used to and events like
right.
the labels used to and everything, you know that this landscape is, you know, the industry itself is just drier.
Yeah.
So anything that we can add to contribute would be great, you know?
This is a great conversation. It's like everyone gets buzzing and talking and interested, and now you really want to see what's going to happen with an artist.
Definitely.
You know, you kind of play some sort of a It's like being in a time machine, having some sort of
freshmen never hurt anybody. Never anyone had been on freshmen and they got hurt for being on it. If they were too big and they were next to people who were smaller, that never hurt anybody. You'd be the biggest fish in the pond. You know, I mean, it's never been anything that's done anything negatively. Sure, it leaves people out, but hopefully inspires them to be better, you know, bigger, to be stronger, to prove us wrong, you know? So across the board with freshmen, I think, you know, you want to see the same person on the cover as every other issue in every other magazine, or do you want to see new people get an opportunity just for a change at something? Do you want to be turned on to new music that you didn't know about and get a mixtape with a whole bunch of people you've never heard that didn't know each other, so of course they weren't going to collaborate already? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got a world of rappers that email each other's verses. They're not getting in the studio like they used to. They don't interact the same way like they used to because of technology. Mm-hmm. So if we can create a moment where it has synergy and they have a cipher where they're rapping together and that they go there and create relationships where you never would have seen in August, I'll see in a Troy Ave cross paths, mm-hmm. you know? I think that's what I get the most out of it, is the cool little relationships and moments you see from that, and the little stories of hearing, you know, they went and did this song because of what happened that night or so and so, you know, and when you get there and the cipher is, like, this is our best year of ciphers by far. They're interacting. Mm-hmm. The R&B element had the hook, so it kind of made songs, you know? The everything about it, and maybe because the value on freshman itself is higher, that people are coming to the table, but I don't see any negative in it. You know, I see us trying to do something to support a new generation. And a lot of times that new generation might be artists of an older generation.
But you have had people turn down the cover before.
Yeah, definitely. We've had people, you know, I mean, everybody's different. You know, so you have to understand, in the sense is that you come out once a year, a lot can happen in that time frame, especially with digital the way it is. So take a Trinidad James, you know, he doesn't exist, and a month later he exists, and he's got two songs with a remix that are huge, and he's on everybody's mind, you know, that didn't exist a month earlier, you know. So with Nicki and Drake in particular, I remember, and I don't really remember what issue things are for, so I remember one particular freshman, you know, we didn't do Drake or Nicki. We were at another radio station doing an interview, and somebody called up, I'm from Toronto, do you know Drake? And we're like, Drake, Schmake, you know, whatever. Within X amount of months, or, you know, he's on stage with Lil Wayne doing the Carter III's R&B parts and, you know, getting the best look that any new artist can. Not to say he wasn't talented, but also a huge look that immediately kind of catapulted him. By the time it came around to freshman, did he need it, or did he want to do it because it was cool? Mm-hmm. Same with Nicki. So, you know, then they have to decide, do we want to do it because, you know, we want to be a part of the freshmen, or are we bigger than that? And, you know, they were bigger than that for them. You know, we did them as the cover after, together, after the freshman issue they weren't part of. Another one was A$AP Rocky. Now, with Rocky, he told us that he was going to do it, and then we didn't hear from him again. So why it didn't happen, those kind of things happen. You know, we had Young Thug was going to be a part of this cover, and the night before, at like 11 o'clock at night, he canceled, said he wasn't coming. So can't really tell you why, but to each his own, you know, definitely. I just know that, you know, would have been cool if we were on it. You know, doesn't mean that you're not going to succeed. It just means that you're not going to be part of freshmen.
Well, and somebody else gets that call at 11:30 in the morning. It was like, get on the plane.
We didn't do it that way this year. We did a little bit different. But, okay. You know, I mean, we accepted our loss there, you know, on that. And it is what it is.
Why did you add the People's Champ?
Add the People's Champ. You want traffic. Like, you know, I mean, that gets people involved huge. We've done that, I guess, 3 years running. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was one of the things that changed freshmen into being a bigger brand, a bigger platform, is bringing the fans into it. And we do everything we can tech-wise to make sure that that's accurate, that nobody's, you know, beating the system somehow. You know, so we have to be conscious of who we nominate when that happens. And we never thought nominating would be taken seriously. When people are like, oh, you were a freshman nominee, we're like, really? Could people care about that?
You know, but Wikipedia pages now.
Yeah, we had no idea. Like, we were just, let's put a list together, you know, to hide the ones we did do or whatever. So it's nice to let the people have a choice on something. And we had Jaron Benton win this year by far anybody else we pick. So the way we do it is, it's the biggest person with the biggest votes who we haven't picked already on the list, because we already have the list mostly picked. He got higher than anybody. And is Jaron popular than all of them? Maybe not. But his social certainly helped, you know. Exactly. So that would be a lesson to rappers to, you know, step your social up. Regardless, especially since Jaron's Funk Volume and Dizzy ruined 10th spot last year, and he was Funk Volume as well, you know? So there's something the way that funk volume's moving maybe people should recognize or pay attention to. And I think you see that with freshmen, people's different movements, which one you like, how they go about it, you know?
Que pasa, amigo? I'm back in it, bitch. Get the head game is right in that pussy, feel good, throw a rack in that bitch. Walk in the club with a scrap in that bitch. Niggas, they shoot like a rack in that bitch. I peel off in the Thunderbird up in Johannesburg on the giraffe with this African bitch. Came from the bottom, my grandmama house. I'm funeral fresh, get the cameras out. 99 bottles of beer on the floor, we went wild in that hole just like Animal House. Eating the rappers, the cannibals out. Bust off in your bitch while she laying on your couch. I get head in the whip while she driving that bitch. She caressing my dick and my hands in the blouse. You think they your homies, they stakes in the end. My homeboy just that motherfucking new friend. One day you here and the next day you go. We still mourning my niggas, so fuck your new biz. I'm breaking again, trying to mask all the pain. My height coming down, I'ma crash, go insane. Party for now, get the money, my nigga, cause one day they might come and bash in your brain. We up in this bitch. Just got paid. Got this drink in my cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, as much as you guys are over those four-hour meetings, like, that's a lot of people's dream job.
I look forward to the meetings, you know? I mean, I know that they could be like, another meeting and stuff. I mean, I look forward to the meetings. I like to sit there and see how it's going to turn out and what people say. And
I mean, don't get me wrong. They are a lot of fun to participate in. Just sometimes, you know, you're getting grilled on everything, and you're like, well, I don't have every single number at my fingertips. And then you're like, all right, going to have to start that one up again the next meeting. Like.
You want to come prepared with your research if you're going to fight for somebody.
We have, you know, best music of the year, best music of mid-year. We have meetings like that. And it can get ugly, like really, really quite bad.
Well, a lot of people have said over the years to do a making of, you know. And our thing is, you know, we speak very freely in the freshman meeting. We might say, yo, so-and-so has no chance of ever blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I don't know if we want some of that stuff on tape sometimes. They do get kind of crazy.
We tell people,
you know?
No tweeting during this
meeting. I mean, we don't want this stuff to get out, you know. Because you're just very real there. You're trying to take it back to, you know, who's got a real shot and who, what's negative and positive. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where, you know, the most of the dirt goes down, that we keep quiet as much as possible because it could not be that nice.
Yeah, and when this is like, you know, one of the biggest things that we do every year, you don't want to ever have it censored, have those initial conversations censored, because you're not getting to the real part of it. So that's another aspect of that as well.
On this cover, who's the closest to unanimous? Who's the closest? Who is the most contentious?
Oh, unanimous Chance, Ty Dolla $ign, Rich Homie Quan. I mean, but I think those are on the more obvious side, you know?
Yeah.
Staff felt very strongly about Gates, you know, early on. I think Isaiah's pretty much up in there is you know, one of the unanimous. I forget who's on there after there because we've talked about him so much. No, you know.
Troy.
Yeah, there's it. Troy was interesting. Troy definitely came up, but, you know, we want to make sure that people don't say, hey, you're trying to... We're in New York. The industry's in New York. You want to make sure you're bigger than that bubble. You know, so I think with Troy, we wanted to make sure that that was reaching outside of New York and reaching outside of Troy Avenue and reaching outside of Barclay Center and reaching outside of Hot 97, you know, and that was connecting. Because I think in New York, we get very confused. And if you're talking to everyone in the industry and the industry's all around, you know, and you got access to all the right radio and everything. So, you know, I was hesitant with Troy just to make sure. And I've said, you know, had conversations with him. I got to make sure you're bigger than New York.
$100 bills, a young prodigy when it come to drug deals. In New York, I get blood money. Dirty cash for my matte black Jeep. I used to skip out on cabs, went from giving no dough to giving limos. Tickets to shows, either way I'm dripping. The shit shows, spit flows like Bo Sick hoes. Yacht master Rolex watch above my moat. Drinking champagne out the bottle. Young Crisco, popping, hopping, less politic, ditto. Same niggas saying time to get this money. They've been the same niggas saying that for years, still hungry. New discussion, New York artists wanna be southern. The city's lost, so out of towners find themselves fronting. It was big, Jay-Z, not Troy Ave here after. Kendrick Lamar's just a weirdo rapper. Ayo, time is over, we keep throwing. And even though it's crime involved, we had to do it.
You know, and feel like you're going to be able to have that reach. So not the same level of unanimous. I think the staff felt pretty strongly, and I think the industry felt stronger. you know, of everyone we spoke to. But then again, a lot of the industry was in New York.
Right.
So we weren't sure how serious to take it until we were able to talk to the Atlanta dudes and the LA dudes and you know, and the people from all different places and see if Troy was making that connection. Mm-hmm. And he was. And in the meantime, his buzz was getting bigger with that and in New York, you know. So it made a sense at that time. You know, it still does, you know, but I mean, it made sense for that choice. You know, Chance was a hard one. Had to talk him into it. You know, he's at a different level of success. So he's got to decide if he definitely wants to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And he saw the value in it. So it was great to have him there. But definitely that was a different dude for the rest of the day. You know, Vic Mensa fit in with him as far as them knowing each other. But just a little bit of a different energy putting it all together. You know, guys had stylists like crazy. I think it was Chance had no stylist. He had overalls, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about the shoot. That's... Yeah, he lost his shirt on the way to the shoot.
Yeah, he lost... Well, no, he had a really funny shirt. He had a shirt with Michael Jackson, Macaulay Culkin...
Michael Jordan.
And Michael Jordan together on it. It was pretty out there shirt. But he took it off for the cover, I guess. Yeah. But he's got it on in the rest of the content.
He wore the overalls all day. And then it was that one moment he took the shirt off, and that was the cover photo.
Huh.
You know, I think last year's class was a little bit more serious. Okay. They don't look as happy on the cover. They didn't interact with each other the same amount. They were full of talented guys, but I think this year you genuinely had a bunch of happy guys who wanted to mess with each other and were excited to be there. You just felt that energy. And they all had their dressing rooms, but they just interacted. They just were excited to be there. You know, I think that Rich Homie Quan's face kind of sums it up the most, uh-huh. even if everybody else is like pretty confident. But that was the energy through and through, really.
Cool.
I was just looking at that and just thinking about just the atmosphere musically right now. It just seems like things, this more organic kind of like to be more communal sort of thing is kind of happening again. And that just could be just me. But it just kind of like I'm looking at that and I'm taking myself back 25 years to what, you know, what the music was and envisioning if XXL exists at the time Native Tongues was around and, you know, what that would feel like, you know, just not just for, you know, the sake of the magazine, but just really capturing. Right. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, this is, you know, it's uplifting. At least to me.
Well, we appreciate that very much. Thank you. For us, it's cool because you get 10 to 12 artists in a room, and we get 5 studios. So we have, you know, a big studio with 5 different rooms, and we move them from station to station to make content. And we come out of the day making ciphers, freestyles, interviews for the magazine, interview the website, behind the scenes, all the sponsors and advertisers get their own little interviews, extra videos from behind the scenes interviews. There's so much that we come away with. You know, the biggest pat on the back I think we can give ourselves is being able to get everything we do that day. Get 12 rappers
That's
in a room.
One day.
One day, everything. We start at 7, we end at 7.
You still look shell-shocked.
It was the longest and craziest day of my life, I would say.
Every rapper usually says the same thing.
Yeah, it was
the hardest
incredible.
Day I ever worked. We're like, well, you've got to work harder.
I was about
then.
To say, like, you know, really? I'm like,
we've had that comment. We've had that comment months, several huh? times. Like, this is my longest day, our hardest day ever. We're sitting there going, what?
Yeah, I think I rolled in at like 8 in the morning and think we all left at like 11:45 that night or something like that.
Meh. Nah, I'm just joking.
Free food, though.
But we did add 2 more guys that we had to get everything with, you know, so that changes the dynamic because like now it's not just one piece of content. It's a lot more content you have to get times 2. Mm-hmm. So you have to stick it in the schedule and figure it all out. But, you know, we got everything. We get everything we can because we're not getting them all together again after that.
Right.
You know, so get the most of it. So I think that's the biggest thing. You know, tell me who else is getting all these artists together and pulling all this off and then keeping it a secret and not letting the content leak out, you know, and then, you know, trying to pick the right people at the same time. That, to me, is probably the best part of it, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
The proudest part of it.
For the last week, I've been having nightmares every night about leaving my backpack at like a bar or losing my notebook. And then
oh, you
all
take
of a sudden,
your notes home with you so you don't throw them in the garbage at work just in case.
Sure.
I mean, I'll take my notes home, rip them up if they've got freshman stuff and throw them up in different garbages on the way home, you know, like oh whatever. God. Like you just don't know because we've got a few other publications up there. Nobody's done anything funny style, but they have guests too. So who's leaning over your shoulder when you've got it on the screen or walk past a desk and saw papers there? So, I mean, I'm sure we could be overconscious about it, but we definitely, you know, treat it like we have
he's
some.
Like, probably not.
No,
it's cryptic information, you know.
No, that's how I live my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, cool.
I want to hear some stories about like the phone calls. Like, tell me about who called Bibby.
Teresa, right? I called Teresa.
Yeah,
I just called Teresa Sanders, who I love. So just shout out to Teresa. But whatever, Teresa Sanders has been around forever, and she's repping Bibby. So, but we had already talked to quite a few other people about Bibby first. You know,
when Bibby learned about it, that was the case where they told him that morning.
Well, he found out they flew him into from Chicago. They flew him in. I don't know if it was coming from Chicago, but they flew him in that morning, and he didn't know. And he had told us, well, I kind of had a feeling because they told us I was going back to XXL, and I had just been to you guys, but I wasn't sure. So they told him when he landed. And he went and got a chain and a shirt.
Yeah.
And showed up at the shoot.
DJ Spree. I say I gotta keep my head above water. I've been going hard, gotta go a little harder. I've been thinking smart, gotta think a little smarter. All I know is hustle, get that shit regardless. I said I gotta keep my head above water. Catch me in the kitchen, I be whipping with the water. Family over niggas, blood thicker than water. All I know is hustle, get that shit regardless. Real hustler, I'ma get that shit regardless. I will not starve, bitch, work hard, my palms itch. I seen some garbage that fucked up my conscience. Niggas, they talk shit, but these niggas harmless. I'm fresh about that field, I swear this shit is real. I run up in the bank like bump for the bills. Remember as a kid, one shit up in the fridge. Rob you for your ends, I don't regret the shit I did.
We've had different times where we were with Isaiah Rashad a few months ago, and we sat and we were talking to him, and we mentioned that he's a freshman. We'd already locked him down, and he had no idea. So we look over at Punch, and Punch is like, yeah, I didn't tell him. You told it was a secret. So TD, every year they did the same thing with Kendrick. They don't tell them. And we don't, they keep it a secret that they don't want them to know. Now, maybe they tell them the day before. It's not really that morning, but it definitely is funny because then you accidentally mess up and tell them thinking they already know.
Well, that was the funniest part with that one, because we had been talking about, you know, different people that we might want to lock down on camera to get the reaction and things like that. We didn't even have that chance with Isaiah because we had thought he'd already known, and then Vanessa just mentioned it in the office.
We work with TD a lot, and actually TD has had 5 freshmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
Every rapper on the
line. All of them, yeah. And that's not because they're in bed with TDE. It's because they've got a good roster. You know, we believe in it. And so it just so happens that, you know, they have a 5th one now. But we've been through the drill with them a few times. So we were like, we're not going to surprise them. We're just going to tell them. And then we just forgot that they didn't tell him. So we're talking to him about it, and he's looking at us like, what are you talking about? And we're like, oh, you don't know. You're a freshman, right? You know that? You know. So that's that. Who else was interesting? August came and gave a extremely, extremely passionate pitch about why he should be on as an R&B artist. And then went in like the previous class and people he didn't like and people he did like. But he was so familiar with it, you knew he was. It wasn't just, well, I'm hot and I'm an R&B artist, put me on the cover. That it came from a more genuine place, that it kind of meant something to him, you know? So, and even then we had to really decide if the R&B element should happen.
Do what I should, but I do what I gotta do. When you've been at the bottom, you see the hunger inside of you. Don't say what you won't do, cause it can all change. When the going get tough, it'll drive you insane. See, I done dodged a couple shots, served a couple blocks, hit a couple corners, trying to shake a couple cops. I broke a couple rules, didn't graduate from school, cause I was busy hustling, man, I thought that shit was cool. See, I gotta keep it real with you, baby, cause the shit I used to do is what made me. And I'm hoping I ain't gotta go back to the trap, cause we really know that we don't want that.
Yeah, what did you, I don't remember exactly how you described it earlier, but like that adding R&B is indicative of the culture right now?
I think the culture is ever evolving, you know, is that's pretty repetitive, but, you know, completely, you know, regularly evolves. And you see with these rappers singing and singers rapping and everything getting blurrier and grayer than ever. And, you know, I think with a Ty Dolla $ign and an August, which are two different R&B artists in their own right, that these are guys who are going to work with these rappers. These are guys who are going to be considered in the hip-hop culture and how everybody writes about them. And the fans and the public don't draw the line like we do. So we've got to, you know, make the line less murky, if that makes sense. Or, you know, or go where the fans are, you know, if we're going to be hip-hop on a higher level. And R&B plays this role these days that it does. And, you know, it's time for us to introduce it into the cover, because we only make our pool smaller and smaller if we stay just rap, when there's more out there than just rap than rap and hip-hop, if it works that way.
Yeah. Is this a younger cover than in years past?
It skews all different ways. I mean, younger cover, we did one with Asher Wale, Charles Hamilton. I think that was our third or second. And that definitely skewed young. Mm-hmm. Then last year was probably, a few of the guys were probably a little older. Right? But we had Joey Badass, you know, who was on the young side. We had, you know, Abs Not Too Old. That sounds, what are they, 20-something? I make them sound, you know.
23, 24. I'll tell you, I did the averages, actually, and it's right on the money.
It's right on the money.
I think the all the covers, the average is 24.5, and this one was 24.2 or something like that.
Okay.
I was thinking that they all were oldest except for Lil Baby, in my opinion, but...
Older.
Chance
older.
Is under than 30. Chance is 21 now.
Just turned 20. Chance and Lil Baby. And I only say that. And
your
this
idea
is
of
just,
old is very different from other
well,
people.
Well, you want to know why?
But
because
Baby's still like teens.
Yeah, he's
yeah, that's a different. Yeah, Joey was still in his teens.
But,
yeah.
But the reason why I say that, and this is just probably not, it may be relevant to hip hop or just in life in it of itself. It just seems like these kids, well, the younger generation, they jumpstart later than what happened previously. You know, like, we're 15, knocking it out, and signing a deal when we're 18, big deal. So I'm just, it's just an observation for me. I'm like, wow, you know, for them to find themselves, what's happening in the world.
Artist development is happening outside the system?
Maybe that's why it's taking a little bit longer. I don't know. It just seems like it's, you know, people are really popping off much, a little bit later. It's not like 18, 19 anymore. It's more like 23, 24. 28.
You definitely have the ability for the 28-year-old and up to blow up still now and to get the opportunity now in a way that he couldn't before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is that the day of the 30 or 40-year-old rapper with the longevity of Jay-Z and other people getting that? I'm not sure. But it's a good mix of them. I think more to that just makes me think of it is that back in your day, back at that time, the barometer wasn't so low for what success was. And yeah. I think now the barometer is set a little lower that, you know, with one song, your level of success can be so much larger than what a catalog couldn't do for you back right. in the day. And that's with the internet, that's with people struggling for hits, whatever it is. I think that's interesting is in order for you to get on, how much lower the bar is and how much sometimes less you have to do with a one song or two songs versus somebody who, to get that success, had to put one or two albums out.
Yeah, I see it that way, too. I also wonder if it's just it takes so much more for them to really get it going. And I just think about, like...
Well, I mean, taking it a certain level, I think we're missing, not all of them, but a big chunk of some of the people who could guide some of these rappers,
yeah.
you know? The older rappers or industry people who not completely abandon it, but don't play the same role as far as cultivating the young talent that could exist. You know, we'll see guys and we'll say, boy, if you just got in the hands of someone who knew what they were doing in a certain situation, how they could grow you, you know, in a certain way. And I think with the internet and with the success happening so quick, you can sometimes miss that area where they get groomed and where they get taught how to use their voice, how to be in a studio, how to make a hook, how to do that. And then by the time you get to that point where they're struggling a little bit because they haven't learned it, they're not listening because of all the success they had up until that point because it's so quick.
Right.
And I think that's a bit of the challenge is you see this talent and you hope that it doesn't get too big before it gets cultivated in the right way, personally.
Mm-hmm. What, obviously you're doing this partly for the social media world and everything, but how do you take the comments? How do you feel about, like, people saying, why is this person not on there? Why is this person there? Like, it gets emotional when people come at you like that.
Yeah, XXL has a very, very large platform. And you get positive and negative, especially from every side, you know? And, some of that has to do with not letting it get to you, but that's a difficult thing. And some of that means you got to turn your phone off every once in a while. There are legitimate criticisms to be made. I think that that's fine. And as you said, you know, like, it starts the conversation, and I think that's an important thing that comes out of XXL Freshman. In terms of dealing with a lot of it, like, you just got to roll with it. I mean, we're publishing multiple stories every day, you know, with under my byline or whatever, you know, multiple a week, and there's a lot of things that... there's a lot of comments that come back at you, positive and negative. And I think you can't let one side get to you because then you miss the perspective on the other side. So just try and stay as even as possible.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of politics in hip hop and a lot of politics in making things happen. You know, we have to play a lot of games and we have to do a lot of things in order to get the class that we want, you know, and the people we want on the cover, because there's egos, there's pre-existing feelings of what the last artist they had was, so what this one should be, whoever it is, you know? So when you see somebody say, well, why didn't you do this person, or why didn't you do that, or you did this? You know, you at first you argue in your head over why you didn't. So you can, but who are you talking to? You're talking to someone who doesn't really know exactly what the process is like to put it together in any of it to understand why you picked who you did. So part of it is, okay, then, you know, let them say what they want to say and, you know, retweet it, you know, maybe. Or if it's not that crazy, you know, somebody will be crazy as, you know, you didn't include so-and-so, you should die.
Yeah.
And you're like, boy, you feel very passionately about that, you know? But and I don't want to say be bigger than it, but I haven't really looked at it too much in the past. I've been asking them what's going on, just for that reason, I think, you know. Cool, say what you want to say, but it's cool as long as you're talking about it.
Yeah.
I guess, you know?
A lot of people say things that just, like, aren't true about, like, the selection process and things like that. And
we have a very, very, we have a certain way we do things. And if you don't understand how it happens and you're not in the industry to understand the politics there and outside, or even in the industry to understand all of that kind of stuff, then, you know, we can only be so mad at what you say. You know, you like somebody, you want to know why they're not on there.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's like, well, you're saying something that I know is not true. I don't need to respond to this because I know that it's true. And frankly,
I think the reality is we can respond, or we're comfortable responding to anybody or anything that anyone brings up.
Yeah.
But we don't have to go through all of them to do that. We just know that the more that they talk about it, you know, the more that there's stuff going on. They were doing the right thing, you know. And then there can always be the person that's brought up, and you're like, okay, so who did they dislike the most that they didn't think should be on there, you know? And that comes up most reoccurringly, or that was missed the most. I don't really feel so far yet, from what I've heard, that anybody thinks that anyone shouldn't be on there. When there have been years when people said, oh, I don't like that person. This, I think, it's more about people saying who they wanted to be on there. In addition, the reality is you can only fit so many people on a cover. So, you know, we don't do the 20 freshmen or the 15 freshmen because we can't oversaturate it to that degree. You know, putting 12 on could be a little tough.
Sure.
So that they all get the look and you see their face and they've got a presence.
Why does this have to happen in hip hop and it doesn't have to happen in other genres? Or why does it and it doesn't elsewhere?
I'm very ignorant to other genres, so you're going to have
to. Why don't other genres do it? I don't know.
Well, you know, we have an electro magazine, which is an EDM magazine. They definitely tried to do it. I don't know about the EDM community too much to know how it connected, but, you know, I know that they tried. That was our brand, though, in our company, you know, under our publishing company. So, you know, in-house, they might have gotten the idea off of there. This doesn't sell well. It doesn't, it's, you know, it's not a big seller. It's more about the digital you get out of it. So, you know, maybe other people don't want to take a risk with putting unproven artists on their cover. I don't think there's anything online like the hip hop community. You can, from releasing your music at all more, you know, times of the day, to getting new music, to talking about everything, to meeting girls on Twitter, to, you know, dissing each other, to everything that happens on social. I think the closest thing that I'm familiar with is probably the People Magazine mainstream, you know, gossip world. And even then, they're not putting out music. You know, it's they're not live streaming their events the same way. So it's a smaller culture, but at the same time, it is a hugely vocal culture. That I think that's a big reason why something like Freshman works within it compared to maybe country, but I don't know, because I don't know those worlds at all.
Well, I also think that culturally, hip-hop is more communal. I mean, I'm thinking back in the Bronx when it was just different crews who got together and sat up in a park. Like, that's just been a part of the culture from the beginning, so it just seems quite natural to have something like Freshman just kind of like carrying a big picture, or just capturing a picture of what already exists. I don't know if in other genres, you know, bands kind of congregate in the same fashion, just on a startup level.
Well, what's the rock magazine? Just rock. You know what I mean? Like hip-hop, yeah. We're able to have a magazine just directed to one music. We're not Rolling Stone or Spin or a magazine that has to cover a lot of different, or add acting or add, you know, all different things. We cover hip-hop morning, noon, and night with a little bit of R&B, depending on how we fold that in. I think culturally that speaks for itself as far as with the folding of magazines. And we don't just have one hip-hop magazine. The Source is still out there. Complex is out there. Vibe is out there, you know, off and on and stuff, you know, where the other music magazines that would be our competitor on stands cover more of a broad area of music. So who would be the country outlet that would put the country artists on the cover? Who would be the rock outlet? I'm not totally sure. That's why I used to have the Vanity Fair music cover, which wasn't new breaking artists, but it was different genres, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you'll see different things with Rolling Stone like that. But I think because we're a culture that actually has a few magazines that are dedicated to it, that still the websites that are dedicated, that live and breathe on such a daily basis with, you know, with such large page views and communities going to them, that's why hip hop can do something like this. Now, why does that exist? I'm not really sure.
Right. There's something about generations, too. I mean, I could see a multi-genre magazine doing something about this first, you know, who's next and whatever. But generations seem to matter more in hip hop.
What makes you excited about hip hop? Like, what was your big thing growing up? Who was, like, your go-to?
Oh, well, of course it was Tupac, you know. As a white girl growing up in New York and upstate New York, it was, like, Tupac and Wu-Tang, you know?
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, it was just expanding after that to everything that was going on. I remember, though, really, I thought in 1999, No Limit and Cash Money were fascinating.
Mm.
Those movements got me, particularly the Cash Money one. But, you know, being a young person just getting in the industry then and seeing that these guys moved as 40 dudes at once, you know, in all white shirts, and this sound that people discovered through, wow, what are they doing on SoundScan, you know, and everything about that movement was pretty fascinating to me at the time. I know it wasn't the most lyrical movement, you know, but it served a purpose then that fascinated me. And I think that, you know, ever since then, you know, it's been going since then, you know, but that was always a very interesting side. You know, I'd been covering stuff since 98. But always, but the Cash Money No Limit stuff was just interesting because it was so foreign.
What's like the fan level musically right now that's outside of like the magazine?
What do you mean?
I mean, just like who do you listen to? It's just like, yo, this is like my shit.
You don't have to keep secrets anymore.
No, I mean, we've listened to a lot of the new guys. You know, I love Kendrick. I love the success of Kendrick. I love, you know, SXXL being on him early and being, supportive of him. I love Eminem. You know, and seeing anything that he has going on, I'm really interested in Chance, just because that's pretty creative. I love Tech N9ne. I think, you know, he's got a great live show and just is totally underrated and is getting more credit. You know, I love Wayne. I like lyricism a lot, and I like a lot of Southern music. I love Southern beats, you know. And it's definitely harder than ever because, you know, you'll know once you meet people personally, your whole dynamic changes.
Absolutely.
Your whole take on them. So it is a little bit of a challenge of being a fan sometimes when you know the people, because you don't want to shit on the ones you like.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's not that you don't want to give credit to the ones that you do like, but, you know, how do you sometimes separate it from whatever you're thinking on top of it?
Yeah, I'm trying to learn that now in this position here.
I'm sure.
I'm like, NPR is the news. I'm a journalist now. I'm like, nah, not really. I'm just...
With the journalist thing, your opinion doesn't hold that much weight. That's the big thing about the journalist. And it's asked for at certain times, but it's more about you giving everybody else the opportunity.
I think that works for the artists that don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had several that don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're young
but,
now.
Yeah, they're young.
They're young now.
Which is totally cool. But then later on, I'm still aware that at some point it's going to register that there was this sort of an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I'm a fan of music. I'm a lover. I'm also a creator. And now I'm like, oh, I'm really a journalist. And
mm-hmm.
that was never on my list of things ever. And it's just an interesting kind of a position because whether I'm in this position or not, I'm pretty much diplomatic about
right.
what I say.
That's
and
what it
have
is.
To be.
Yeah.
And it's just.
Curious. Well, it's the same pool, right?
Yeah.
So you got to go back to the pool over and over again if you're covering hip hop. So you can only, you know, ruffle so many feathers. You can only do so much without having to burn the bridges that make you able to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you got to find that balance in between, you know, I'm staying true to what I'm doing, and at the same time, you know, I'm not burning the bridge over there with this, this, and that. And that goes for freshmen, that goes for, do we write this story up or not? You know, what have we got going on over here? And that's going to create a problem. But also, we don't want politics to dictate how we do news. And I believe all news sources and all, you know, news outlets are dealing with things like that now because mm-hmm. the lines are blurrier again than they've ever been as far as what's content, what's not content, what's advertising, da 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 da, who's paying for what, if you're making content for advertisers and all that. It's just a different day than it ever was before.
Yeah. What is the journalistic function of the freshman? Like, you use the word document.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also sort of predicting, but you're also affecting the future. I mean, I'm not denying that it has journalistic value. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what exactly it is, how to describe it.
We have Show Improve. We have The Break. We have different sections where we feature new artists and new talent. The level of stars in hip-hop has gotten smaller. There's not as many as there used to be. They don't get as big as they used to be. So as far as people who get on a cover and sell a magazine or that you're going to bank on selling a magazine with is a smaller pool than it ever was. So you have to figure out different ways that you can cover stuff.
Right.
For us, you know, we're introducing you to these guys as far as, you know, look what they're working on. Look at their talent through the cipher. Look at their talent through the freestyle. You know, get to know them. Definitely a bigger look than somebody who's not on it. But at the same time, it's freshman's a stepping stone for you to figure out what to do with it. We're not saying, hey, this is giving you a deal. This is not giving you anything but an opportunity to make yourself bigger. And it's on you to do that. You know, we don't tamper with anything having to do with whatever your next step is. We wish you the best of luck. Whatever meeting you're having when you negotiate and come in town for the New York show, it's great. We want you to do all that. So, yeah, I mean, I understand there's a thin line between what exactly is documenting since we're making the news. But at the same time, it's just the position we're able to be in, you know, and do stuff like that and create a moment in hip hop when we're lacking them, you know? And I think that if we were doing anything that was guaranteeing that, oh, if you do this, you do this, but we have a relationship with Def Jam and you're going to be over there, doesn't exist, whatever, and we were tampering with the game like that, there'd be a different thing. But it's no different than us putting Chance on the cover by himself right now, which The Source did, you know, and saying here's a new artist to look out for, and we're just giving you a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
It's been taken to a different level, which we're happy about, you know, as far as the impact and the power of freshmen, but it comes from a place of documenting originally.
I think it's not like winning The Voice and then you get a record deal with Simon Cowell or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's like, hey, these are the guys you're going to hear a lot from in the next couple months, in the next year or so, especially the next year. Here it is. Like, here's everything you need to know about them right now before everything.
And here as comes. And as a journalist, we are critics. You know, we do have reviews. We are music journalists. And so as a music, we don't have just to review your album. We're reviewing the artist, kind of, you know. Yeah. We're saying these are the artists to look out for, just like these are the albums maybe to look out for, you know.
Yeah.
So there is some sort of stamp on it, but the stamp is not to cram it down your throat. The stamp is to offer more to an ongoing conversation in hip-hop and, you know, an ongoing group of people who are making it.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back on something and ask how you got into hip-hop and what you first...
G-Funk. Hearing G-Funk for the first time. I always loved funk music growing up, and then first time I heard The Chronic when I was like 12 or 13 or whatever it was, and then I fell very hard into a lot of that, and then went into the underground, and, you know, just coming from, you know, I always wanted to be a writer too, and then a journalist and everything like that, and how lyrically that the most lyrical rappers were some of the guys who I just attached myself to in a certain respect, and then there's also, you know, when you think about guys like Nas who are just street journalists, you know, documenting what happened around him when, you know, it's the 20th anniversary of Illmatic last month. Been listening to that a lot because of that. But, you know, like, a lot of that kind of aligned with how I thought about, like, what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to be a writer, a journalist. And then just, like, the music just took me to places that I wouldn't have been before, so.
Yeah.
I don't get the sense you do, go to the movies and kick in and watch television like Game of Thrones or some whatever. You seem pretty dedicated.
I haven't been to the movies in a long time. I saw Inception a while back, right?
Oh, my God.
We were talking about this the other day.
Yeah, I saw movies. I saw Inception in the movie theater a while back. I haven't gotten into Game of Thrones yet. But, no, definitely, you get very into all this stuff. And, you know, it's hard to explain to people who aren't involved in hip-hop how, you know, it's not 9 to 5. You know, it's a different thing. And I think the people are involved in it like that part of it. But it's hard for people outside of it to understand.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, I just wanted our listeners to really understand the passion here, if they haven't.
It's like 12 hours a day most days, honestly.
Yeah.
No, we work a lot. You know, I mean, we're not doing manual labor. We're not doing the tough stuff. We're not blue collar, you know, and lifting and doing hard things. But we do work hard for what we do. You know, and we do love what we do, and we do want to make sure that everything we do is as accurate as possible, and right as possible, and true to hip hop's could be.
It's the people dropping stuff at midnight and like on a holiday weekend that drives me crazy.
Friday night, what was it, 12:45 in the morning? Lil Wayne and Drake dropped The Moment, or not The Moment, Believe Me, the new song, and I had just gotten back to my apartment. And just saw Twitter going crazy, immediately posted the song, was listening to it and everything like that. It happens, you know, Friday night.
I mean, you do a little Wayne interview, you're doing it at 2 or 3 in the morning. You know, you just, you're prepared for that. You do this, like, there are no rules in hip-hop except for the whatever general rules that we all know and make up. But there's no rules to this has to happen at this time, and it's 9 to 5, and people answer the phone. The biggest thing we say to everyone is you take all your logic and you throw that logic out the window, and then let's start having this conversation. Yeah. Because if you're trying to find logic in any situation, more than likely you're not going to find it. Yeah. So, you know, throw that out the window and then take hip hop for what it is and start working off of it from there. Don't place whatever your experiences are somewhere else in there into hip hop and expect it to work the same.
If nothing else, the cover is a scheduling feat.
If nothing else, you know, I mean, nobody wants to sit there and say, so I'm going to figure out the date for this one. You know, that's one of the hardest things. And then you got to do it again for the New York show and the LA show. And then you literally deal with, like you say, oh, everybody's going to get two people to come. Well, this person has to have three. And this person thinks they need four. And this person this. And you can have every conversation you want. You can send as many emails as you want. You'll have every conversation over again. And we'll sit in the staff and I'll be like, so, you know, they can't find this one right now, but this one thinks he's going to wear a lion to the shoot. Right? And so we have to go on that they might bring a baby tiger or a lion. I'm like, well, should we be prepared there's going to be a baby tiger or a lion?
What are we going to do if there's a large cat there?
You know, like, should I go to the studio and say we're bringing a tiger? Or should I not? You know, and then can I get an answer on this?
I'm like, let me know.
It's tough. Right.
So that did happen. Troy tried to bring a tiger this year.
What?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with Brooklyn?
I don't know directly, and I don't even honestly think he's Leo for a lion or anything. I really think, and I really don't know, he'll correct this or hate it for it, but I think that French Montana wore a bear,
a dead bear. Yeah.
Right? Like took a bear rug and made it into the outfit or whatever. So I think that having the living animal top the dead animal, but that's just on my speculation of why else would you want the tiger. But I'm not going to lie, I wanted the tiger.
Yeah, I mean...
You're going to bring a baby tiger? I want to be the, you know, the person who cares for it all
day. You can debate about like how it ties into what he's doing, where he's from, everything like that. It's a baby tiger. I want that baby tiger like around.
Yeah, that was disappointing. He was like, I'm going to get, like, he said something else. We're like, no. I can't remember. Like, I can get a snake or I can get a so-and-so. We're like, no, get the tiger. He's like, the tiger's not working out. I'm like, why are we even having this conversation? Like, really? You know? Because I'm not sure if I should take it seriously or not.
Well, on that note, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it. Thank you for supporting Freshmen and giving us this opportunity.